We'll read this morning from John's Gospel, chapter 9, verses 1 through 12. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with his saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but he is like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." So they said to him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." We pray. Lord, shine through us. Amen. So what is it about you that shines? Is it your sins? Is it your struggles? Is it your triumphs? Or is it your weaknesses? Last time I had chapel, we talked about this same text, and we saw how Jesus, the light of the world, shines away our spiritual blindness to allow us to see who he really is. To see that he's the one who has brought us salvation, that he is the one who assures for us a home in heaven. But there's another way that Jesus shines, which our text tells us about. And that is that he shines through our blindness. You know, as far as I know, no one here is actually blind. I mean, I have pretty bad eyesight, and I know a number of you do as well, but I don't think anyone's actually blind. But we do all have physical weaknesses. All of us bear in our bodies and on our souls the fingerprints of the corruption of sin. The fact that you can even feel pain is proof that something has gone horribly wrong in this world. The fact that you, who were originally creator and originally meant to be a perfect creation of God, can sin, shows how bad things have really gotten. So how can you shine? You know, you might be thinking, well, Jesus not only healed this man, this blind man, spiritually, he also healed him physically. So he's going to do the same thing to me, right? He's going to get rid of all of my weaknesses, all of my pain, all of my problems. Done. It's not the way it works, though. At least not in this life. But Jesus still shines through us. He did it through this blind man by healing him. The fact that this man was healed was a testimony to all those whom he met in his life, to all the many people that he told of what Jesus had done. Even in our text, he tells his neighbors, he tells those who used to see him sit and beg, he ends up later in the chapter telling the Pharisees. Who knows how many people heard about the Messiah through this man's testimony? Jesus was shining through him. He shines through you as well. If you get hurt, you get a bad knee, or you have some sickness and you get well, you can give God the glory. If you face some physical pain or weakness or difficulty in your life and God allows you to suffer with it, he still shines. We have a good example of this in the Apostle Paul. Paul was given a thorn in the flesh. He called it a messenger of Satan that was sent to harass him. And it was very, very painful. We're told that Paul prayed to God 3 times, pleading with him, "Take this away from me." And God said, "No, because my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness." What did he mean by that? Well, Paul writes earlier in his epistle to the Corinthians, "Consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even the things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. Kind of like quarterback. You got a quarterback. Great quarterback. Best arm in the game. And he's on a really good team. Really good wide receivers, good offensive line. He has a great season and no one's surprised. I mean, sure, they'll say, yeah, he's a good quarterback, but you'll have the people out there saying, well, you know, he's got such a good team around him. I'm not sure he really deserves that much credit. But if you take that guy and you put him on his terrible team, his receivers are always dropping passes, his offensive line's like a sieve, and he still has a great season, probably he's going to win the MVP, and everyone's just going to be saying how great he is. He's going to get all the glory. So it is with Jesus. Look at the garbage he has to work with. You and I, in and of ourselves, are worth little more than the dirt, spit, and mud that he used to heal this man's blindness. But when Jesus uses such humble material, no one can say that the credit goes anywhere but to God alone. As this blind man went around telling people how Jesus had healed him, no one can say, well, you know, I heard once that if you make some mud and put it on someone's eyes, that's a pretty common, you know, scientific remedy. That's ridiculous. The power is Jesus. And so with you, in your life, if you have an opportunity to witness to a friend or a coworker about the wonderful grace of God, to tell them how Jesus has shined into your heart, taken away your blindness, and assured you of the forgiveness of your sins, they can't say, well, that's just because you're such a wonderful person. You've done so many good works, God just decided to forgive you. No. You can say, what a wretched sinner I am. What a worthless piece of garbage I am in and of myself. But Jesus, his strength is made perfect in my weakness. It's true about our school here as well. You know, a few years ago, a couple members of a different church body, a liberal church body, talked to my dad. They were interested in joining with us in our seminary. They wanted to send their students here and have some of their professors come and help teach here. And, of course, Dad explained to them the problems with that, why we would not want to do that. And they were amazed. They said, well, how do you guys even survive if you're so small? God's strength made perfect in weakness. It's true about our synod as well. You know, the Lord has richly blessed us in recent years with an explosion of opportunities in our mission fields. India, Africa, Myanmar, Nepal, South America, now maybe even Mexico. What's the reason? Is it because we have such deep pockets and so much money? Nope, that's not the reason. Is it because we're such a big synod? No, that's not the reason either. It's because we're smarter than everyone else. Nope. It's because of the Word of God. It's because of the Gospel. It's because Christ's power is made perfect in weakness. And through our weaknesses, even though we are sinners, even though we fail constantly, God works through us. And by doing so, assures us that His forgiveness is all we need. Assures us that this world isn't our home. We have something better to look forward to. And in connection with that, assures us that all this pain, all these physical weaknesses will be healed. I want you to imagine that you are standing in a line, and everyone around you in the line is sick. They're all broken. They're in pain. They've got weak hands and feeble knees. But way off from the front of the line, you can hear sounds of shouts of joy as one person after another is healed, made completely new. And you know for sure your turn will come. Might be a while, but it will happen. That's what these healing miracles of Jesus do for us. They show us how Jesus has already given us eternal life spiritually, and how that means that He will certainly also heal our physical bodies as well. They are like beams of light breaking through the dark clouds of this sinful world. They give us hope. They give us strength to trust in His grace and remind us that we will one day shine with Him forever in the kingdom of our Father. Amen. We'll conclude with hymn 427, two verses of 427, verses 2 and 5.
move over here, not distance from me, so just